Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Jesus prophesied in Luke 21 that the Romans would come, destroy Jerusalem and the temple, carry off the Jews, and that Jerusalem would be under Gentile rule until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. Jerusalem was under Gentile rule for centuries. It was under the auspices of the terrible Ottoman Turkish Empire for the last 400 years until it was liberated in 1917 and for the first time into the hands of people that would turn it to the Jews, turn the country to the Jews. Just before, that happened in the First World War. Just before the First World War, Napoleon said this, "From the uttermost ends of the earth, ships and soldiers are approaching or gathering in the eastern Mediterranean in fulfillment of a destiny as yet not understood by mortal man. The arrival of the Anzacs in Egypt created the nucleus of the army needed to attack the heart of the Turkish Empire." Napoleon tried to break the Turkish Empire and get the Holy Land free. He couldn't do it. Others tried. They couldn't do it. The Crusaders tried. People couldn't do it. But God, when it was time for it to be liberated, he reached down to what Jesus called the uttermost part of the earth, straight through the globe from Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the earth is Australia and New Zealand. To me, it's a magnificent. I'm just back from there. In one trip, I was in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. How amazing it is to me. And we're reading right now of that great liberation that came, which Jesus prophesied of Jerusalem. I'm reading to you from Cole Stringer's book. He's an Australian. They call him the Crocodile Dundee of the evangelical world in Australia. And he wrote a book, The 800 Horsemen. We're going to make it available to you this week. But I'm reading to you from it now because it's prophetic fulfillment of Jesus' words in the times in which we live. Reading to you from page 66. In 1914, the First World War began with Turkey on the side of the German-Austrian alliance. The Turkish rulers, hoping to galvanize the Muslims of the Middle East into action, called for a jihad. Oh, we know what that word means, don't we? Against Jews and Christians alike. In 1915, thousands of innocent Armenian Christians were murdered. The butchery continued throughout the Ottoman Empire, with 500,000 Armenian Christians being massacred and a further 500,000 being forced to leave the country. Get Dimas Shakarian's book, The Happiest People on Earth. I think we have that book as well. This was the scene onto which the Australian light horsemen were about to burst. These dashing young Aussies, they spell it A-U-S-S-I-E-S, but I'm just back from there and they call themselves Aussies. These dashing young Aussies from the other side of the globe would change Middle East maps and the world forever. Australia, with Great Britain, declared war on the German-Austrian powers and immediately began to raise an army. Part of that army, the Australian Light Horsemen, was possibly the most famous, unique, and colorful force to leave Australia's shores. Every trooper was a superb horseman and crack shot, most born and raised in the rugged Australian bush. When we read you about this great cavalry charge that broke the back of the Turkish Empire, their horses were horses that were in the bush, wild horses. They captured them, trained them, broke them, and trained them. And those horses proved to be able to take the deserts of Israel. They were even more fit for it than the camels. But these troopers, every one of them was a superb horseman and crack shot, and most born and raised in the Australian bush, distinguishable by their slouch hats and fluttering emu plumes. Now, I've got one of these hats sitting right on my desk, and I'm going to describe it to you. Cole Stringer awarded me this hat. I didn't want to take it because it actually has been in battle, and Cole was saving it for his grandson. Cole's own family were in the Light Horsemen. But this is a felt hat, and one side of it is pinned up on one side, and there's a gold emblem that says the Australian Army On the other side is a fluttering emu feather. They chose the emu because this is a bird that never backs up. When some of the more properly trained British, and they were in the war because Australian was, you know, founded by the British, and they were in alliance with the Queen. Some of the people, the very proper horsemen and properly trained horsemen of the Brits, said, "What is that feather?" And the Aussies said, "That's kangaroo feathers." Of course, it was a joke, because that's how they were. They were noted for their good humor under almost any conditions, their boldness in combat, and a unique sense of fair play. Aussies have always tended to favor the underdog and were not infected by the anti-Semitic feelings that plagued most of Europe. These rugged horsemen lived by an unwritten code. You never left a mate, no matter what the cost. They use that word mate like we use the word friend. Another quality that separated these bushmen from regular British troops was an ability to think and act for themselves under pressure, a quality that would stand them in good stead in the confusion of the battle. The ANZAC, that's Australian, New Zealand Army Corps, the ANZAC British forces soon forced their way from the shores of the Suez Canal deep into the waterless Sinai Desert. The light horsemen proved more than a match for the Turkish cavalry. However, they were now faced with a solid line of Turkish defenses. Despite many battles in the searing heat, the Turks were just as firmly in control of Jerusalem and the Holy Land as they had been for centuries. The key to the battle were the Gaza Beersheba fortifications. Beersheba, I'm going to say it the way they say it in Israel. Beersheba, meaning Well of the Oath, so named by Abraham. These were Abraham's wells and mentioned in the book of Genesis. The wells had provided water not only for Abraham, but for Isaac and Jacob, for Moses and David and other Bible characters. Any army approaching its life-giving wells has to march for days through the waterless Sinai Desert. All the Turks had to do was hold off an attack for one day, and the merciless desert sun would do the rest. Despite assaults by the combined forces of the British ANZACs, the place could not be taken. Then came the fateful day of October 31st, 1917. The generals were desperate. 60,000 British infantry with tank support had been driven back into the desert. With the sun about to set and with no water for many miles, the situation was fast becoming grave, as the British were in urgent need of 400,000 gallons of water for their men and horses. General Chauvel issued orders to storm Beersheba, and it had to be won before nightfall at all cost. Chauvel's men had concocted a bold but simple plan to allow his 800 horsemen to charge the Turkish artillery. A cavalry charge across 6,000 yards of open terrain into the face of the massed Turkish guns. It sounded like a recipe for disaster. No wonder the German commanding officer described the light horsemen as, quote, madmen. The light horse were not cavalry. They were mounted infantry. They had no swords or lances, but were only equipped with rifles and bayonets and designed for infantry warfare. But left with no alternative, the desperate general gave the order for the last great cavalry charge in history. The young men mounted their magnificent whalers. That was the name of the horses that they trained from the bush, the wild horses. They called them whalers. The young men mounted their magnificent whalers and lined up to face the Turkish guns. Their faces bronzed and tanned from the desert sun, their emu plumes fluttering in the breeze, rifles swung across their backs. History was about to be written. These men were about to commence the liberation of Jerusalem. In 1917, General Allenby took over command of the ANZAC forces from General Murray. Ideally, he needed to take Jerusalem, which would shake the very foundations of the then-existing Muslim hierarchy and its jubilant masses. But there was much territory to be fought over before Allenby could present himself at the gates of Jerusalem. The key to the doorway were the precious water wells of Beersheba. Intelligence informs us that the Turks had massed guns along the Beersheba front. The plan is the ANZACs must smash Beersheba, or there will be merry hell to pay. That's what one soldier wrote. I wonder if my luck will pull me through. He wrote more. Here goes for the great fight and the grandest charge of mounted men in history. English cavalry officers are now swearing it was so anyway. The mad Aussie, well, there was a trench, and in the trench were all the Turks and their guns, big guns, and even air cover by the Germans. This big trench where they were entrenched, the Aussies decided the only way we can get to water, the only way we can save these horses and men, 60,000, is to leap those trenches and to get to those wells of Beersheba. The mad Aussies charged magnificently across the dusty plains so fast that the Turkish artillery could not keep pace with them, and they were able to slip under their guns. As they leapt the trenches, a magnificent cheer went up from the British ranks. Such was the magnificence of the feat. Although outnumbered and outgunned, they charged on. Beersheba, the gateway to Jerusalem, was opened that day. Let me quote from True Australian Tales. The Australian light horse attack on Beersheba was the last important cavalry charge in history, and the last to win a resounding victory that altered the course of a war and the course of a nation, Israel. Actually, the course of history, the course of prophecy. The late afternoon sunlight flashing on their bayonets, Australian troopers of the 4th Light Brigade made a proud sight as they spread in a khaki flood over the stony Palestine plain. The thundering hoofbeats of their mounts rolled over the arid land ahead like some macabre overture, wearing their distinctive feather plume slouch hats at a variety of jaunty angles. The troopers seemed nonchalant in the face of death. Beersheba suddenly came into sight, the graceful minaret on its mosque pointing the way to glory. Almost as one, the big war horses surged forward in a mad gallop, their hoofs striking thunder from the hard sun-dried earth. Then from within the barbed wire encircled town, artillery began firing. The shells roared overhead, exploding in fiery geysers. Yelling men and horses went down in tangled heaps amidst the choking smoke clouds swirling everywhere. But not even shrapnel could halt their fierce onslaught. Leaping their mounts over fallen comrades, the horsemen swept towards the Turkish line. Soon the shells were falling harmlessly behind the advancing ranks. With the first gauntlet behind them, the Australian horsemen raced into the next. Wow, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The rest is history. Beersheba was in Australian hands by the time the last rays of daylight had faded from the desert sky. The deed would live on as the proudest achievement of the legendary Australian Light Horsemen. These Light Horsemen, you have to get the book. We're offering it to you, 1-800-972-3447, for only $15. I can't read it all to you today, but it was the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. Jerusalem would come back that day. The Balfour Agreement was written. So many things are told in this book. You'll want to get it from us. 1-800-972-3447. History, prophetic history fulfilled. This is Billy Brim saying, until tomorrow, Shalom, Shalom.